Just the first sign today, some great day, I'm going to fly away. He's an ancient law. He's an ancient
law. Yes.
Yes.
Very little bleeps.
St. Augustine. And it's a great parent. Here people in Spain, Lord in Spain, it's good praise unto you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And in all our world, we just thank you for your mercy. It's sharp. We just thank you. And we pray, Lord, that as we look into it in the next few moments, we know that you will guide us by your Holy Spirit, and all we said and done, glorify you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This, as I mentioned, I think the point is a point of the soul before us. There are days when the burdens we carry chafe our shoulders and overwhelm. When the moment seems dreary and endless, the sky is gray and rainy, lives have no music. And yet, our hearts are lonely, and your souls have lost their courage. All the time of life, rise to where the skies are full of
feels to adjust that.
Bring the colors to great music. It's the sense of companionship with heroes and saints of every age, and so quicken our spirits that we may be able to encourage the souls of all who hear with us on the road of life, to your honor and glory. I thought that was pretty good. There were days when we had trying times and we had dreary days, and I thought this was a very excellent prayer that he had written centuries ago. Scripture this morning, I got the first verse of chapter 1 by the book of Israel. I'm going to read your verses. In fact, it's verses this morning, so you can write them down, look them up later. One states, now in the first year of Cyrus, the Persian, that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus in Persia, that he gave a proclamation to all his kingdom, and also in living Savior. So, I like to always ask some questions, sort of to get the fog of the minds, and get a little mind that's my mind's a little something. But just get our minds going. Number one, are you a person who is motivated or moved by, say, a song or a great story? You know, maybe you're moved or you're motivated by some family gathering or family. You know, a heart-tugging situation, stir it in the heart. A grip up and get going more. You know, I'm not talking about a totem moment, but I mean a moment or a moment when we just are moved to do something or say something. Are you a person who is motivated to accomplish something out of the ordinary? A person, you know, can be stirred or to do good as well as bad. And, you know, I was just thinking, it's just not like, you know, get up in the morning and it's cold and I'm motivated to get up. That's not going to happen. An example of good motivation is what I just read at the opening about Cyrus. He was moved or he's motivated to proclaim proclamation, to fulfill the word of the Lord. Now in Acts 4:2, you can write this down a little bit, but this is an example of being stirred to do bad. Acts 4:2 states, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil against the brethren. So the question is, what stirs our hearts? What stirs us to be motivated in the right direction, or unfortunately in the wrong direction of action? You may be thinking of some, as I'm speaking, you may be thinking of some items, and I'm indebted, I was reading through commentaries, video stage, and he had some ideas, and I put down some of my own. Now, the Word of God, the Word, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God. So if a sharp, pointed sword was aimed at you in battle, you go to battle and a sharp sword was pointed right at you. Or if a sharp, hardening knife was at the back in a confrontation that you've been with a dangerous individual, what would you do to be motivated to do something? Or would you just stand there and you just go like, "Great"? Just being motivation dog, dreaming kind of off and on, thinking about maybe getting your hair cut or going to the gym. Hopefully you would react to try to save yourself. The Word is real. You would be motivated to do something more. So here we have the Word of God being presented that is even sharper than any sword or knife. Piercing. Sharpest of sharp. To the very soul. So I ask that the Word of God stir you and I to action. Does it motivate us to want to know more about the Lord? What pleases Him or displeases Him? How we can better grow in the Lord? When you read or hear the Word of God being presented or read, does it make you sit up and take notice? Like that sharp-pointed sword. A jab here, a jab there. Does the Word of God motivate us to want to protect it, to proclaim it, to defend it against those who would want to see it silenced or perverted? And there are a lot of people, including politicians, who are against the Word of God. Yes, it should do so for you and I, for you and I are in battle. It should motivate us to take on tasks for our Savior, fighting the good fight? Or does it cause us to just daydream about the use of love? This is the question we need to ask. We need to ask. Now, the discipline of heaven is the gospel. There's the Word of God, and then there's, within the Word of God, there's the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory in, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:16. Breaking the bread this morning, our brother mentioned the word motivated, being motivated. Strong's definition of the word woe is a primary explanation of grief. Of grief. So when you hear the word woe mentioned, it's basically grief. So who here likes grief? You know, a good dose of grief. I get up in the morning and I think I'm going to go out and find a good dose of grief today. Most of us try to avoid grief, don't we? Yeah, it's not something I'm doing. Yes, most of us try to avoid anything to do. So therefore, let us be motivated in holding on to the life-saving gospel, which keeps us from a time of grief. Let the life-changing gospel motivate us to praise God and to see the gospel proclaimed. Yes, does the gospel motivate or stir us to give praise to our Savior, Jesus Christ, for what he did for us on the cross? Does the gospel motivate us to live lives pleasing to the Lord while we have opportunity here on earth to support the proclamation of the gospel? And number three, this is our death. Death. Hebrews 2:15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2:15. And then in Psalms 55:4. My heart is so pained within me, and the terrors of death are falling upon me. Fear and terror of death, words that cause the rational person to shudder, to seek to avoid life grief. Now, death is generally not a pleasant subject to talk about, especially at family gatherings, I said. Yet death is part of the living process. We are forced to confront the realities of death, whether we like it or not. Therefore, does the aspect of death motivate us, rightly or wrongly? Whether we like to acknowledge that there are two deaths, there's spiritual death and there's physical death. Therefore, we need to be motivated by the fact that physical death can fall at any time, at any moment, and that we need to be ready to stand before a righteous God. Are you ready for that moment? Have we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? Now, the next one is the topic of sin. Sin. Proverbs 22:8 states, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. Proverbs 22:8. And that famous verse of the scripture, Romans 6:22-23. But now being made free from sin, become servants to God, we have your full fruit and your holiness and the end of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, the word sin is mentioned many, 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 many times in Scripture. Just a reflection for our sin is basically missing the mark. Missing the mark. Especially in regards to faults and fans, trespasses, less strong definition. I would encourage you to really use the Psalms importance here in the past service, and I encourage you to get a copy of the access to copy of Psalms importance. So does the very deep sin motivate us or move us to examine our sins and to seek repentance and forgiveness from the one we have been, and that being God Almighty? And also, in a personal way, we may have offended someone we know and it helps. And we need to make right that. Does it motivate us to cry out to Jesus Christ, the very one who can forgive our sins, who paid the ultimate price for our sins? Does the word sin and what it implies motivate us to stop and take a hard look at our lives today? Does the root of sin motivate us to flee in our hope? Now the next topic is injustice. Injustice. One that's just quoted Proverbs 22:8. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. It's also the scripture, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the weak. Iniquity and injustice, different translations, interchange the word. And my question is, does unjust actions against people motivate us to be upset? That's what injustice is. Do we see wrong and evil and unjust laws for what they are? Abortion, euthanasia, homosexual rights. These are unjust. These are injustice. Are we motivated to speak up to expose injustice? Or does it motivate us just to turn on the TV or close the blind eye? This does not mean that every little thing we go up with placard and start tromping on the streets. I'm not saying that. But there are injustices that the Lord is it's appalling to the Lord. And it needs to be appalling to us. We need to be motivated by injustice in our society. But injustice should motivate us to pray when we can. Number six, fear. Fear. Hebrews 11:7 states, by faith, Noah, being born things not seen as yet, moved, that's another thing, motivated, with fear, preparing a life to the saving of his hosts, by which he condemned the world, being an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. Fear reverence. So if I was to ask you whether you were a or blood type of person when you were in a fearful situation, what would you say? Are you a person who brings it up and cannot make a decision at all? I mentioned it somewhat when we looked at the section on the gospel. This is very dangerous in many places. The outcome is not always for him if we just freeze him. Now, with this in mind, the question asks is, does fear motivate human? The scripture just read says that we are to fear or reverence the Lord. To act cautiously. That's how the line of biblical uses is act cautiously, circumspectly, to be aware, in reverence, stand in. Yes, fear of not pleasing the Lord should motivate us to get up and get going for Him in the proper sense. Yes, fear is a great motivator for right or for wrong. Let it be right. Let us keep our minds sharp and ready. Psalms 31:24. It's on my desk. Be of a good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. So when we are fearful, it's a great verse, Psalms 31:24. Another motivation we should have is for the truth. For the truth. The truth should be a motive. John 8:32. It's a famous verse in my office verse. John 8:32. Yes. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So we here likes to follow after lies or after his problem. Here likes to go to see today about being. Be deceived. He wants to be deceived. But nobody likes to follow after him. He likes to be bound up in a long closet or a small room. She just does not like to be in closed spaces. She just doesn't like that. But people. Who likes to be deceived, as I say, by someone who lies. So with these points in mind, the question is, are you and I motivated by truth to seek after it, to desire it? Does our heart stir within to hear the truth over what is false and misleading? Yes, the truth is a powerful motivating force and is a deceiving world. The truth is liberating and frees us from what can bind us and keep us locked in the closet of fear, doubt, and worry. And this goes on. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Number eight, envy. Acts 7:9. And the patriarch, moved with envy, sold Joseph in Egypt, and God was with him. Then the NIV states jealous. There are some kind of subtle differences, but both are negative feelings and humans. Envy and jealousy can motivate a person to think or do something that can cause great harm. Believers in Jesus Christ are not immune to these terrible things, envy and jealousy. They can shut up a person from within. They can cause hurt to others around. They can cause a person to depart from a life pleasing. They can stir up a lot of grief. And again, he likes grief. So let us not be motivated to allow envy, jealousy to rule our lives. Let us be motivated to seek help and strength from the Lord to help us when these feelings start to overtake us. Let us not stir the pot of envy or jealousy or allow it to simmer and to stall our lives. Love. Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That verse, or the two verses, speaks to me of eternal security. It's another subject. To be able to, nothing can separate us. If we're saved, nothing can separate us from the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13:13. There's one of you at weddings a lot. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abide the faith, hope, charity, love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And Mark 12:33. Mark 12:33. And to love him, Jesus Christ, with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all old burnt offerings and sacrifices. Mark 12:33. Love is a word we use so much in our day to day. So many situations. I love them. Smell closest I was past 8 o'clock. I love my car. The word here is not really what we mean. It's more like I enjoy. When we overuse a word, its true meaning can become obscure. You know, it's hard to be motivated or stirred up by something that is obscured or becomes so commonplace that if I ask to explain it, its meaning, all we can do is kind of. But also, it is used as a scripture just read. Right. I looked up the International Standard Bible Dictionary states, while the Hebrew words belong must have various shapes and intensities of meaning, they can be summed up in some such definition as this. Love, which is unity to God in you, is an earnest and anxious desire 4 and then 15, 15 interest in the one of the one law. Law is a powerful motivating in many respects. I believe it is really more than just one emotion. Be turned off or turned on as much as we see. The question to ask ourselves is law, God's law, motivate us to follow God. It's love, just a dead word that stirs us up. Matthew 14 and 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Matthew 14 and 14. This is closely connected with the previous point of law. Strong's concordance again states the vowels were thought to be the seat of law and pity. Think that compassion is love in action. Compassion is love in action. When we are motivated to allow us to walk and be efforts, we are motivated for those in need, for those who are struggling spiritually and physically. Now, unfortunately, there are some that will take advantage of our condition, and it's not right. They take advantage, and they all, that's not right. I'm not saying they get but compassion is love in the community. It's love and compassion. Very positive motivation to a fulfilled life in the Lord. So, in closing, we have quickly looked at some things that should motivate us, that should stir our hearts. The Word of God, the Gospel, death, sin, injustice, truth, envy, love, and compassion. Good, proper. But let us be sure of our motivation. Let us be sure of what moves and stirs us in lives. Is it for God's glory, or is it for our own selfish ways? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Oh Lord, there's so much in your word that can motivate us in a positive way. Oh Lord, the first step is to make sure that we are saved, to know and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our first and Savior. And then, Lord, as we move through life, let us be motivated to serve you with all our hearts, souls, and minds. Let us be motivated to proclaim the gospel. Let us be motivated to stand for what is right and true, and be motivated to love and compassion for those of us. For your glory, we thank you. We give you the praise and honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. Amen. Thank you. Have a great week in the Lord.